With us, you start having cards. Right now, you don't have to play cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III.
Sounds like one of the movie clips last night from the Oscars, you guys. I just, wow. I missed something here?
Oh.
Wow.
It was happening literally as we were getting off the air. As we were getting off the air, what you, and by the way.
Last Friday, yes.
Yeah, you know, this is something we're going to play out for you so you can hear this, because this was absolutely astonishing. In my life, I have never heard two heads of state talk like that to each other in public.
There's about 200 broadcasters nationwide saying that same thing. Quick tease, John, and just because the show local, real quick, if I could. A lot of stuff shaking up things, rattling cages. I just got to share this with our listeners because while you guys were prepping the show, we had a little situation.
I said shake, rattle, and roll.
Just to confirm, an hour ago, there was an earthquake in the San Juans. Bellingham felt it. Concrete, 4.6 on the Richter scale.
4.6? That's a real quake.
That's a real quake. Just want to show people we're local. Now, during the Oscars last night, there was an earthquake in L.A. during the ceremony at 3.9. Let's go back to last Thursday. 3.2 earthquake in East King County. Hours later, we had a 2.9 in Bremerton. Karen was asking me about that. I just leave it at that and remind her of where we live. Please continue, John and Phil.
So, assuming we'll still be on the air by the end of the week, we'll be on top of all news updates. How about, so an earthquake earlier today hit over 4.5 on the Richter scale.
Just about an hour ago. Okay. It just came live there on USGS survey to confirm it. I got that about 6:15 as you guys were scrambling to get a great show going for your Monday morning.
Where was it set?
6:15 or 5:15?
They're saying it was like 5:05, 5:10.
Oh, 5:05. Okay, there we go.
Right,
yeah.
San Juan Island there, Friday Harbor primarily. But
so it was
all
centered
the
on the land?
Well, they just said San Juan location.
Okay.
And it's usually it kind of buried a little bit or whatever. No tsunami. Didn't see any, not big enough for that. So.
Okay. Doubt it would be enough for something like that.
If we hear any details about damage anywhere, of course, we will let you know. Some earthquakes of a very different kind over the weekend in Washington, D.C., and the reverberations, the aftershocks felt throughout Europe. Boy, this is interesting, and it's fascinating, and it shows that we are, and the rest of the world's finally getting to figure this out, that we are not business as usual in the United States anymore. The idea that the United States is going to continue pouring billions of dollars into a war that in Ukraine has stagnated into like a World War I slog where thousands of young people dying every week, and it's not clear for what anymore. The bottom line on all this is Vladimir Zelensky wants to keep fighting, but he's been losing for over a year and a half. It's slow, but it's steady. He's losing momentum. On the other hand, Vladimir Putin has taken far greater losses than Ukraine. Now, he can afford to. Ukraine is a country of 37 million, 10% of whom have left the country. Russia is a country of 148 million. By the way, Russia's population has actually been going down in the last 10 years. Russia's population is no longer even holding even. They are losing population, low birth rates. But put that aside, they are over four times the population of Ukraine, and They are more industrialized, and they are more capable of pouring munitions and fighters. So the bottom line on all this is here's the tension. We have been supporting Ukraine for a long time. Donald Trump, before the invasion, Donald Trump sent Javelin missiles into Ukraine as a deterrent against Vladimir Putin. That deterrent was working until Biden. Now, what did Biden do that changed all that? He did three things. The first thing Joe Biden did was the disastrous withdrawal, the manner in which he withdrew from Afghanistan. That had people looking around the world saying, this is how the United States is now disengaging, leaving Americans, leaving allies behind, and just folding up and running out? That was one thing. The second thing that happened is that Putin decided to test the West, not just the United States, but Europe as well. And he amassed 70,000 troops on the border with Ukraine. The United States chose not to do anything because we thought it might be seen as a provocative response, and we didn't want to provoke the Russians. So the Russians do it. Instead of saying the Russians need to know what happens when they do something provocative, no, we watch them do something provocative. And again, this is Joe Biden in late 2021, decides to do nothing. Then, in early 2022, Joe Biden, when asked if the United States would respond if Russia did invade Ukraine, said, it depends if it was a minor or a major incursion. Do you guys remember that? So, after a dismaying withdrawal from Afghanistan and the United States doing nothing after Russia put 70,000 troops on the Ukrainian border, when Biden is asked, would we respond if they invaded? And he said, well, it depends if it was a major or minor incursion. Putin gave the green light. Move. And they did. And of course, once that happened, then we hit the panic button. Then we're all in for Ukraine. Then, you know, the White House is waving the Ukrainian flag. Everyone, please wave the Ukrainian flag. Show your support for Ukraine. The reason Putin invaded is that he thought he could get away with it. Now, there was a rush of U.S. aid and European aid, and that, along with those Javelin missiles that Trump had sent, probably saved Ukraine from being flattened in 2 weeks. Then they fought back. They fought back impressively and ferociously and bravely. At that time, Zelensky had 90%+ approval from his countrymen. And sure enough, they started pushing the Russians back. So if Russia thought that they could move through Ukraine like a hot knife through butter, they were mistaken. This was not going to be a replay of what happened in the Obama years. Remember, it was during when Obama was president, Russia invaded Ukraine. They snatched Crimea. claiming that Crimea, the Crimean Peninsula, had been historically Russian. True, but then again, that was then. It's now part of Ukraine. And that many of the people there speak Russian. That also is true. There's a lot of Russian culture there. So he claimed he could take it. Obama responded by sending economic aid, but no military aid to Ukraine because, well, that might be seen as provocative. Then comes Trump, and Trump did send weapons. And he warned Putin, don't do it. I know you want Ukraine. Don't do it. Don't invade. And Putin did not. I have asked people on the other side of this issue, the people who are anti-Trump and almost slavishly pro-Ukraine, why they think Putin didn't invade when Trump was president. If Trump was a stooge, if Trump was a lackey for Putin, why didn't they invade? They said, I don't know. They can't come up with a response. But now, here's where we are. Trump is trying to get Putin to the table to negotiate peace with Zelensky. Zelensky, who, again, has been very brave. The Russians have tried to kill him several times. He's escaped assassination attempts. He's gone to the front lines of where the fighting is. So this guy is a fighter. Okay, this guy's not afraid to fight. But he's been losing for a year and a half. And he simply demands more economic aid, demands more military aid. And Donald Trump is saying, toward what end? This cannot go on. Look, this is now just turning into a slaughterhouse back and forth. And so that was the conflict last Friday when these guys faced off. They were in front of the media for 40 minutes. And for the first 35 minutes, it was a relatively uneventful appearance. And then it all began to melt down in the last 5 minutes. Have a listen.
2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire.
He says back in 2019, he signed a ceasefire with Putin, with President Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Ceasefire, all of them told me that he will never go. We signed him gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken this ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it.
That is true. What Zelensky is saying is true. Putin went back on his word.
What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, Mr. President, with respect, I think it's...
He's saying Mr. President, he means President Zelensky. He's talking to Zelensky at this point. He's seated on the couch across from Zelensky, and between them is Donald Trump in a chair. While he's got Zelensky to his right, also sitting in a chair. Here's how how that went.
Disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come on.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now.
He said, even you have problems, but you have a nice ocean between you. So, again, he's not acknowledging what Vance is saying, and the vice president is right. They are having problems. Zelensky's popularity, I mentioned a few minutes ago, a couple of years ago, was in the 90s. Now it's in the low to mid-50s. Which is kind of shocking for a wartime president.
Is that based on like his people in Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm just talking about Ukraine.
Okay.
These are approval polls within Ukraine. Do you approve or disapprove of the job that he is doing?
Death toll now for civilians, 12,605 in Ukraine since the war began three years ago.
That's just civilians.
If
you combine civilians with military casualties, Ukraine in 3 years has lost more people than the United States lost in 12 years of fighting the Vietnam War.
I saw something like that.
And you know how divisive that war was.
Good point, John.
Okay, let's continue.
But you will feel it in the future. God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless. God bless.
That.
You
don't,
will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
You're
in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're
going
to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed
from
yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right.
Listen how Zelensky keeps interrupting his host. And here's the other part of this that the media are missing. They're attacking Trump because they don't want to come to terms with how Zelensky came across. They don't want to say Zelensky really lost a lot of face in the United States. Americans saw a side of Zelensky that they hadn't seen before. And the reason why is that what occurred in front of everyone on Friday would have occurred behind closed doors. Okay, that's when you pound the table, point fingers, and start letting the other side have it if you're going to have a really frank and candid exchange of views. The thing is, you just don't do that in front of everyone. And of course, it was happening. I'm going to pull back on the last 3 minutes of this and play it after the break. But the bottom line here is President Zelensky hurt his own cause. And the Americans, enemies of Trump are trying to say that Trump blew it up. No. Trump was the host. Zelensky was the guest. That's how the guest was conducting himself. Anyway, we'll continue. And yes, we will take your comments by phone and by text. 206-421-5757. 206-421-5757. Oh, man, we're so busy. We got so much local and national and state stuff and a very moving moment at the Academy Awards last night. Don't worry. There was not much to talk about, but there was one moment there that is worth remembering, and I'm going to play it for you later on the show. More of the face-off between Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky. We have never seen anything like this before. I mean, genuine history being made last Friday. We'll play a little bit more of it for you as the Commute with Carlson continues. We're back on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. And, of course, we still have havoc, bedlam, Europe saying, oh, no, we're going to have to form our own coalition of the willing in order to keep the people of Ukraine in the fighting and protected from Putin. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's conclude with the back and forth on Friday between Donald Trump and J.D. Vance on the one hand and Volodymyr Zelensky on the other. Again, your comments certainly welcome. You can call us or text us. Same number, 206-421-5757.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards. Right now, you don't have your playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of...
This guy just keeps interrupting Trump. Talk about someone who's not aware. I mean, he's doing this in front of the world. He's gratuitously ticking off the president of the United States, the only guy who can really help him. And this is one of the problems with Zelensky. You know, this did not get much attention. Joe Biden, in 2022, after announcing that he was giving support over $1 billion to Zelensky, Zelensky started complaining that he wanted more, that it wasn't enough. And Joe Biden actually said, I mean, it was on a call, there were witnesses, that you really would do well right now to show some gratitude for what we are doing for you.
Well, John, look at the way he was dressed. I mean, you're going to the White House, richest country in the world. You're not wearing a tie and a suit. You're wearing a black sweater and pants.
Well, supposedly everywhere he goes, he wears that to show that he's in battle mode, that he's fighting. So I think it would have behooved him to wear a suit, but everywhere else he goes, including, you know, over the weekend, he posed with over a dozen and a half European leaders and others. And he was, they're all dressed in ties and, you know, or nice dresses. And
it's that respect thing, though. I mean, there's no dress code at the White House. I know that. But still,
yes.
Look professional and like, yes, I'm privileged and honored to be here.
All right. So back we go to last Friday. Again, you talk about a civics lesson. This is what these conversations look like behind closed doors. And they're happening in front of everyone.
People, you're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed
you
far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you? You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you can...
He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country's in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning.
I know.
You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks
in
this cabinet,
and
not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted
for
your
president. We gave you military equipment, and your men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about West?
If you didn't have our military equipment.
Again, when does this guy shut up? You know, he could wait for Trump to make his point and then interject, and he's just talking over him. You know, shut the blank up when you're meeting with the president in front of the press. He says his part, then you can say yours. And he's just talking throughout as if Trump is background music.
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again,
I tell you.
Just say thank you. Except that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate.
Do you hear that? I said it all the time to the American people.
Those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I think it's very important.
That's why I kept this going so long.
Wow. At that point, Trump realized that Zelensky was losing ground, that he was losing face, that he was losing stature, that he was losing credibility in front of the American people. That is why Trump kept this going. He wanted America to see what Zelensky was really all about.
No, it's great to have the cameras live. And you don't think that was fed back to Europe and Ukraine so they could watch?
Oh, the whole thing's live across the world.
Right.
This is all happening in real time. When I was driving home after the show, they were letting this play out. And I said, is this really happening? It's unbelievable. And it is going to change the course, not just of the war, but of our association with Europe in this European war. You know, when Europe says, we're going to form a coalition, we're going to step up if America doesn't, the answer to that is, yeah, you should have been doing that for the last 3 years.
That was my first question after all these discussion with your
why are
leaders.
We footing most of the bill here?
Yeah.
This is in your backyard. This is in your, you know, this is like something that is happening in our country. You would expect us to do most of the ponying up most of what is required to fix it. This is something happening in Europe, and then they're looking to us to be the major contributor. Why would we be the major contributor when we're not the major benefactor?
You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards.
I'm thankful.
You're buried there. Your people are dying.
I can tell you
you're
again,
running low on soldiers.
Don't,
listen,
don't, please,
you're running
Mr.
low
Brad.
On soldiers. It would be a damn good
Mr.
thing.
Brad.
Then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look. If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war. But
you're saying
said,
you don't want a ceasefire?
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't
it doesn't
with
matter
me.
For you what,
that
what
wasn't with me. That was with
a
guy named Biden who was not a smart person.
That was what Trump said there was very important. He said, you know, we need guarantees. We need guarantees, which, by the way, with reason. Putin is not trustworthy. Putin will renege. You know, Putin is no more trustworthy toward Ukraine than Hamas is toward Israel. And so with Biden, yeah, they reneged. With Obama, yeah, they reneged. Zelensky's right about that. But Obama ain't Trump. And Biden ain't Trump. Trump is different. And so that's what Trump was driving home. Is that you get a ceasefire with conditions laid down. That's going to happen with us. Okay? We will see to it that is honored. And Zelensky was pretending that there's no difference between Biden and Trump when it comes to how Putin will behave. There's a huge difference.
That was with Obama.
It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama, who gave you sheets, and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
Good for Trump. Good for Trump. And the reason why the globalists, the reason why the left, political left, is infuriated with Trump is that he helped expose Zelensky. They don't want to talk about how Zelensky came across. They're talking about how Trump came across. Trump came across like Trump. Look at how Zelensky came across. Not like we've seen previously. All right. It is coming up on 12 minutes to 7 o'clock. Our good buddy Lars Larson is joining us. We're going to talk about a nurse, a university hospital nurse in Oregon, who refuses to treat Jews, calls them dogs and vermin. No, she's not a hardline Muslim nurse. We'll tell you who she is coming right up. Back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVOK. Okay, taking a quick time out from Ukraine to talk about something zany happening in the state of Oregon. A nurse, her name is Kamisha Lynn Hart. She kind of looks like the actress Robin Wright when she was in that series with Kevin Spacey playing his wife.
That was House of Cards, but
Power
she
wife.
Was Jenny in
yes.
Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Princess Bride as well.
And she works at the Oregon Health and Science University Hospital. And she has been posting on social media that she hopes all the Jews, quote, meet their ancestors soon. In the meantime, watch Al Jazeera investigating war crimes in Gaza. In another comment in response to a Jewish woman, she wrote, I would refuse to treat you. I don't take care of animals, dogs, rats, vermin of any kind. To a Jewish man who supports Israel, she said, I couldn't care less. I would refuse to treat you anyway because I'm not a vet and I don't treat dogs.
Yep.
Who is this nurse?
It is somebody who needs to be fired, as far as I'm concerned. I know some people are going to say, well, she's making these private comments in her apparently private Facebook page, which is tougher to verify, but there is now a group, Physicians Against Anti-Semitism, that says, look, you can't have people working in the medical profession who have an attitude that I will not give care to you because your faith. And it would, I think that would apply whether the person was anti-Muslim, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, or even atheist. That if you've got people in medicine who say that based on your faith, I will not give you medical care, I don't think that person can work in medicine. Do you?
No. I mean, she's hateful.
Well, she can be hateful all she wants, but she has to take the consequence. If you say, I hate people for their faith, but you say, well, go ahead. You have an American right to form your own opinion. Oh, you'd like to work in medicine and care for people who that you've already announced you hate
right.
because of their
she's
faith?
She's saying no. that if you're Jewish, I won't treat you. In
right.
the hospital. That takes it out of the realm of private and puts it right into the belly of your employer. She posted about the death of Sherry Bibas. This is the woman with her two sons who was kidnapped.
Yep.
And they were all alive.
Yep.
Her children were 9 months and 4 years of age. They were returned dead. And she posted about the death of this mom, saying she was fair game to be killed. And, you know, the amount of hatred is just stunning. She said, I'm being, now she's gone to GoFundMe.
And she said, I'm being bullied online by anti-Semitic groups because I do not support genocide. Now my nursing job is being threatened by them. Are you kidding
me?
Hold on.
She's being threatened by the anti-Semitic groups, but she's an anti-Semite?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's being pretty upfront about it. We'll see if she holds on to her job or not. Lars Larson is following this story as well. Just stunning. You've got a nurse speaking like this online. All right, let's get ready for hour number two of the commute straight ahead.